Thank you for the anointing that is upon your word. I ask you now, O God, to anoint these lips of clay that I can speak your word to your people. Father, we'll be sure to give you all praise and honor, for it is in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. And I won't ask you to stand up anytime soon. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on the topic, uncommon people. Uncommon people. And I ask you to stick with me because we got a lot to cover, and I'm going to try to cover it in the time I have allotted today. Uncommon people. When many people meet someone or find out some information about that person, they draw their own conclusion of what type of person that is. You ever met somebody that as soon as you met them, they had already formed an opinion about you based on what they had heard? Amen. It is very dangerous to do that, because how many of you know the stuff that you hear, most of it's not true? That it's half-truths and it's been added to and it's been taken away from. But we're all guilty of that, of when we hear about someone, we may not even have talked to them before, but we've already formed an opinion about them. And we do this because they make judgment on somebody by what they've seen and what they have heard. If we've heard bad things or juicy gossip about someone, we determine that is a person they don't want anything to do with. Well, I don't want nothing to do with them. I've heard too much about them. You ever heard that? You ever said that? Ooh. And all my amens went quiet. Amen. We've heard all the juicy gossip, and we go ahead and we form an opinion, and we say, I don't want anything to do with them, because their judgment is made solely on what the person is as at that particular time in their life. But how many of you know that God doesn't work like that? Praise be unto God. God does not see you or me as what we are right now. He sees you at what he knows we can become. And God will bless you on what he can see you become. And that is why you're sitting over here scratching your head wondering why God is blessing you in the midst of all your mess. God is blessing you and you still got all your issues. It's because God blesses you on what he sees you becoming. God doesn't look at a person where they are now. That is why God can see somebody that is dripping in sin, dripping in addiction, dripping in failure, and he can say there's greatness on the inside of them. Amen. And we got to start looking at people through God's eyes. We got to allow God to help us see past what is on somebody to be able to see the greatness on the inside of them, because there was one day that God looked at Ovid Dunaway and said, there's more to him than I see, than people see. One day God looked at you and said, there's more to you than what people see. There's more to you than the rumors they talk about you. There's more to you than all the bad things they say about you, because no matter what everybody else sees, God sees what you can become. Amen. God doesn't look at people as they are now. He looks at them as what he sees them becoming. Peter was a person that at first glance you wouldn't want anything to do with. Most of you say, oh, I would like Peter. Y'all would be scared of Peter. Peter was the guy, when you take your kids down to the lake, there's this dude standing in his boat, buck naked and cussing. Jesus found Peter in a boat twice naked. Peter had a cussing problem, and he toted a knife. He was a guy that you would be like, get the kids and let's get back to the car. There is this dude over there. Come on. Some of you older people may remember an old Ray Stevens song. And part of it says, don't look at the... It's called The Streak. That'd be one of those. When you walk up and you find Peter, you'd be like, whoa, everybody get away from him. But when Jesus found Peter fishing, naked and cussing, and he toted a knife, and he was always ready to fight, Jesus saw greatness on the inside of him. He saw a man that even though he was in this state now, one day he would get filled with the Holy Spirit, walk down the stairs and preach a sermon, and thousands be converted. He saw a man that would walk down the street that had so much of the presence and the anointing of God on his life that people would lay folks in the street just hoping Peter's shadow would fall on them and they'd be made whole. Whoa, is this the same Peter that we would try to get our wife and kids away from? Because he's like, We don't want nothing to do with somebody like that. Don't be so quick. Don't be so quick to write somebody off based on what you've seen and what you've heard. Don't be so quick to tell somebody, oh, they're no good, they're not going to be anything. If you came across Peter, most of us would never think that he would become a great man of God. Most people would be like, don't make eye contact with him and maybe he won't notice. And this happens even today because people are so quick to label somebody by what they've seen and what they've heard. Y'all all right this morning? Amen. But when Jesus found Peter, he didn't see Peter the fisherman. He saw Peter the preacher. He saw Peter the guy that was going to be. Jesus had 12 disciples, but he had an inner circle of three, Peter, James, and John. Jesus said, this is somebody that's not only going to be one of my disciples, but he's going to be in my inner circle. Goes to tell you, you always need somebody that's got thug-like tendencies in your inner circle. Always. Always. If you don't have that, get you one. Why? Because you never know when you're going to have to need them to revert. Even Jesus knew that. Even Jesus, like, I got Peter, I got James and John, but where's my thug at? And Peter was like, hoo-de-hoo! And Jesus was like, come on down. You the man. Peter pulled out his knife, and let me tell you something. We try to play this off, but when they came to arrest Jesus and Peter pulled out his knife, he chopped that dude's ear off. I think he was trying to split his wig. And the guy moved, and Peter chopped his ear off because Peter was a zealot, and zealots believed in overthrowing Roman rule by force. Peter was always ready to fight. Let me move on. So you said, my preacher told me to get a thug in my group. I did. So, just a saved thug is the best friend you'll ever have because they got you no matter what. Let me move on. That's why Ruby's in my inner circle. Now, when she's got thug-like tendencies, but she's saved. And she's probably going to cut me after church. Let me move on. So God looks past where we are in our current state, and his plans for our life are centered around what we'll become. And even after Peter started following Jesus, he still had issues. How many of you still got issues even though you're following Jesus? If you don't raise your hand, you're lying. You got issues with lying. Everybody still got issues. Everybody still got issues. Even though you're following Jesus, you still got issues. And so Peter still had issues. And one of Peter's problems was that no matter who he was around, he changed to fit that group. Peter was, if he was hanging out and there weren't no Jews around, he'd hang out with the Gentiles. But as soon as any Jews showed up, Peter would shun the Gentiles and be like, oh, I can't be around y'all. I can't stand people like that. And Paul openly rebuked Peter for this. Paul rebuked Peter for this. He said, man, he said, you can't be one way. He said, you're like grass blown in the wind. You just with whoever you with. And that's the problem Peter had. He would change who he was just to fit in with whoever he was hanging out with. Don't be like that. Be you. No matter where you are, be you. And I think the greatest compliment anybody can ever receive is no matter where they're at, they're the same person. No matter who they're around, they're the same person. I'm me no matter what. I don't get all bougie when I get around uppity-to-do folks. I'm just country. I had to ask a preacher one time, am I too country for you? I'll have to tell you that story later. But God looks past and sees who we are. And even after Peter started following Jesus, he had issues. He changed to fit people he was around. Watch, if he was around this group, he was going to be like them. But if he got around another group, he wanted to be like them. And we still see people that way. We want to act saved on Sunday. Oh, I'm a Christian. But in Saturday night, you in the club. Hello? And you complain about the music being too loud on Sunday when the music really ain't too loud. You just hung over. That's good preaching, preacher. Hello? I'm a little short on my tithes this week, preacher, because I lost it at the boats last night. Amen. Let me move on. I'm thinking I have to call in my thug over there. Let me get out of here today. So Peter was the guy that he wanted to be like this group, and he wanted to be like this group, and he just changed continually. He was like water. Do you know water will take on the shape of anything you put it in? You put water in a round bowl, it becomes round. You put it in a square, it becomes square. And it would take on the shape of whatever you put it in. And he was a person like this. But one day, Jesus told him, says, your name is Peter, which means rock. And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, if you put a rock in a bag, the bag takes on the shape of the rock. So God said, instead of you conforming to whatever situation you're put in, I want you to go into a situation and conform it to you. And so instead of the church, hello, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church. So instead of the church conforming to the world, we need to conform the world to the church and let them start seeing who we are in Christ Jesus. And that's what Jesus was telling Peter. He said, you can't follow me if you change just to make everybody happy. He said, you got to be a rock and stand on the word of God and go out and change the world into the molded image of Christ. Hello? That's why he said, you're going to be a rock. No matter what situation I put you in, it's going to have to mold to you. Amen. We need some folks that are confident enough in who they are in God to let other people know, this is who I am. And if you're going to run with me, you're going to have to accept me for this. I don't change who I am. I cut up and have a good time no matter where I go. Amen. I love to have fun. I love to cut up and all that. And I'm not going to change who I am and act all religious. I had a preacher tell me one time, said, you walk too much when you preach. I said, well, when I feel the anointing, I can't be still. And he says, well, next time you walk, walk with purpose. He said, walk over here, stop, make your point. It's called walking with purpose. I said, I can't preach like that. It didn't go over well. But Jesus didn't look at Peter like he was. He looked at him as what he would become. Jesus said, Peter, you're going to be a rock. I'm going to build my church. Jesus said my church would be built on a rock. The church is supposed to go into the world and change the world to fit its form, not the other way around. Hello, I'm going to say that again. We're supposed to go into the world and change the world, not make the church so worldly that the world will accept it. Hello? Amen. I'm not a clothesline preacher, but I do believe in holiness. And if it was possible for you to make yourself holy, Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross. Holiness comes from your relationship with God, and God makes you holy. Hello, it ain't got nothing to do with what you wear. Hello? If you wear sleeves down to here and a dress down to here and a collar up to here, it don't make you holy, it makes you hot. Amen. Let me keep preaching. Y'all all right? That's why some of y'all got problems right now, because you be sweating too much. The church is supposed to go to the world and change the world, not vice versa. Now, Jesus is continually looking at Peter as what he would become. And one day after the resurrection, Jesus is talking with the disciples. We know that Peter failed miserably when Jesus was carried away. He denied Jesus 3 times. The man stood and boasted, Lord, I'll follow you even unto death. And Jesus said, Peter, man, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. So Peter was one, Lord, I got you. I'm going to be with you, God. And Jesus said, you'll deny me 3 times before this night is over. Make sure when you boast that you're going to run with God, that you're going to run with God. Because there's a lot of people that say, I'm going to follow God come what may. And at the first little hiccup in your relationship with God, you're ready to quit church. Hello? You're ready to throw in the towel and go somewhere else because somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody looked at me wrong. Somebody didn't shake my hand. The preacher didn't get around to me. Hello? Y'all were clapping a minute ago. Amen. That wasn't asking you to clap. I was just being goofy. But y'all fell for it, so okay. So now Jesus is looking at what Peter would become. the whole time. And one day after the resurrection, we know Peter denied Jesus three times. And the last person he denied Jesus to was a 16-year-old girl when he started cussing. You know you bad when you cuss a youngin' out because they done called you out on your stuff. She said, "You are a follower of him." He cussed her out. And then the cock crowed. And then Peter realized what he had done. And the Bible said he went out and wept bitterly. Can I tell you something? I thank God for repentance. The Lord says, "I would that you sin not. But if you do, you got an advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus." And I thank him because there's been many times that I've had to pull a Peter and go out and weep bitterly and say, "God, forgive me because I've blown it. God, forgive me because I've messed up." And guess what? He is faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. And I'm so thankful that God forgives us when we asked. Because if he didn't, we'd all be in trouble. Because the Bible says all have sinned. All. That means everybody. So when you're looking at somebody else's sin, look back in the mirror, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we all need a Savior. I seen a shirt the other day I'm going to have to order for myself. It says, "I'm not the perfect Christian. I'm the one that'll admit I need Jesus." Guess what? I need Jesus. I need him every day. Because some days I struggle to stay saved. Amen. And if you're honest, you'll say the same thing. Why? Because your flesh wants to do what it wants to do. Your mind wants to go crazy. Somebody messed with your baby. Amen, Taisha. Amen. That made me mad. Amen. Amen. Let me move on. So Jesus is talking with Peter. And the Lord asked Jesus, Peter asked Jesus, he said, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Then Jesus asks Peter again, "Do you love me?" And Peter replies again, "Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus tells him, "Feed my sheep." Then a third time, Jesus asks Peter and he says, "Do you love me?" And Peter replies, "Lord, you know all things. And you know that I love you." Jesus tells him, "Feed my sheep." Peter gets upset because Jesus questions him three times if he loves him. But what Peter failed to realize is that Jesus knew that Peter loved him. That was not the point of his question. He was telling him, "Peter, your ministry is going to progress outside what you think it's going to be. And do you love me enough to go where I'm sending you? Do you love me enough and do you trust me enough when I pull you out of your comfort zone?" Ooh, let's move on. We're going to get a little deeper. Jesus was looking at where Peter was going and wanted to make sure that Peter loved him enough to send him where he was going. The progression that Jesus showed Peter was going from feeding lambs to feeding sheep. In other words, from preaching to the Jews to the Gentiles. Peter thought that his ministry would be just preaching to the Jews, but Jesus had other plans. How many of you had plans that you thought God was going to use you, but then God totally changed them? God's good about that. You talk about make a preacher sweat, is when you got your sermon together, and right before you step in the pulpit, God changes it. They're like, "I don't want you to preach that." You're like, "Lord, that's my notes." He's like, "Do you trust me?" "Yeah." And I'm over there like, "You better do it then, because I ain't." "You better tell me what to say." Amen. And the Lord changed Peter's plans. Jesus was letting Peter know his ministry is going to progress. But Peter didn't get it. So he's sitting around crying about it as Jesus asked him three times. You know, there are times in our lives that God will be positioning or repositioning us to the next level of our progression. And we sit around crying about it, wondering what went wrong. Do you know when God sent Elijah to the brook, Elijah said, "It's not going to rain till I say it is." Elijah burst on the scene. We don't even know who his parents are. Just said Elijah the Tishbite. Burst in the scene, walked into Ahab's court, said, "Hey, king, it ain't going to rain till I say it's going to rain." Turned around and walked out like a boss. Didn't rain for 3.5 years. And God sent Elijah to the brook, and he said, "You're going to drink from the brook, and the ravens are going to bring you bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening." But before long, the brook dried up. And God told Elijah, he said, arise and go to Zarephath before, because I've commanded a widow to sustain you. So God sent Peter to the brook, but the brook dried up. And let me help you right here. Lack in your life, lack is a sign that God is trying to move you. There's many people today that are struggling. Ooh, help me, Holy Ghost. That you're struggling financially. You're struggling in other areas of your life. And you're struggling in many places. But when you experience lack in your life, it is a sign that God is trying to move you. And you can either sit by a dry brook and die, or you can arise and go into what God's commanded you to do. That's for somebody in here today. Lack is a sign that God is trying to move you, because nowhere in the Bible does it preach that you got to be broke, crippled, and crazy to serve God. God, it's all throughout the Bible that when you're where God wants you to be, you're doing what God wants you to do, He blesses your socks off. Are y'all tracking? Lack is a sign that God is trying to move you. So let me move on. So many times when God is repositioning us and to our next level, we sit around and cry wondering, God, what did I do wrong? You sent me to the brook. I wonder if Elijah had been like that. God, you sent me to the brook, and now the brook dried up. What did I do wrong? We've all been there. God, you told me to do this, and I did it. But we got to quit marrying the season, because seasons change. Don't marry the season that you're in. Marry the God of the season. That way, no matter where, no matter what season God puts you in, He's still in control. And so many people have married a season in your life, and then you're sitting around crying about, God, God, why is this happening to me? God, why is this happening? And God's like, you've been in a season for so long, and you refuse to move. But instead of being upset when things start to get out of whack in your life, you should get excited because God thinks about enough of you to progress you to the next level. Get excited. When something falls apart in your life, start shouting. What do you mean, preacher? That's crazy. It takes crazy faith to follow God. Why? Because if something falls apart in my life, that means God's got something better for me. Stop crying about what you lost and start shouting over what God has for you. Because God said He would never leave you, forsake you. He'd put not more on you than you can bear. When the enemy comes in, He's going to lift up a standard against him. What do we have to be upset about? When stuff starts falling apart, that means God's repositioning us for something greater. It ain't to destroy you, because if the devil had the power to kill you, he would have already done it. He don't have that authority. Woo! Let me move on. Get excited. Jesus was sent to the Jews, but the Jews didn't receive him. So that opened up the door. Did Jesus say, well, since the Jews didn't receive me, I'm just not going to the cross. Then I'll go to hell. No. Jesus said, I was sent to the Jews, but the Jews didn't receive me, so I'm going to the Gentiles. Be all right. If somebody don't want you, be all right. Shake the dust off your foot and go on somewhere else. Amen. Stop wasting all your time and all your energy to make somebody want you that don't want you. Hello? Hello? Woo! I'm going to get back up here. Because we spend so much time fighting to get back stuff God's removed from our lives. Hello? Let me move on. Jesus was sent to the Jews. The Jews said, we don't want you. Jesus said, fine, the Gentiles do. And He also told His disciples when He sent them out, He said, when you go into a house, He said, abide there as long as they receive you. But if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet and keep stepping. That's what He said. That's what Jesus said. So in other words, if they can be exposed to you and still reject you, they're not for you. Amen? Y'all all right? Have some self-respect. Hey, I'm not going to beg people to be my friend. I'm not going to beg folks to like me. I'm not going to beg folks to want to hang out with me. Why? Because I don't have time. Hey, y'all all right this morning? Let's move on. Many churches have rejected the move of God for so long that God is just raising up people seemingly out of nowhere and putting them together to fulfill His plan. The church has rejected the move of God for so long that God's just raising up the ex-crackheads and alcoholics and backsliders that are just so happy to be free they'll do whatever God called them to do. Let me tell you something. If you won't do what God called you to do, He's always got your replacement. Elijah prayed a 63-word prayer and fire fell out of heaven. He took out the prophets of Baal and killed them all. But one woman, Jezebel, sent word to him and said, before the day is over, I'm going to kill you too. And he ran for his life. Most of you brothers, when that woman says she's going to cut you, you better get out the way. Let me move on. She said, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah ran for his life, found himself up under a juniper tree telling God to kill him. God, I'm the only one serving you. This man had just prayed fire out of heaven. And then he's over here crying, Lord, just kill me. Jezebel's going to kill me. You might as well just kill me, God. And God told him, says, get up and go anoint Elisha in your stead. What did God say? He said, you won't do it, so get up and go anoint your replacement. God is wanting to do something on the face of this earth before He comes back. And you hear this preacher this morning. And if we won't do it, God has our replacements. And they may be sitting somewhere this morning with a needle out their arm. They may be in a rehab clinic or they may be in prison. But God said, I'll raise them up. And they'll be so happy to be free that they'll do what I tell them to do. Let me tell you something. God is going to raise up people that's going to do what He wants them to do. I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody to take my spot. I don't want anybody to take my place. God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. So God says, I'm going to just start bringing all kind of people together to fulfill my plan. So when God begins to move you away from certain folks or certain things, don't get upset. Get excited. And don't cry over people that won't come with you. Because not everybody wants to go where you're going. Do you know not everybody wants to be free? It took me a long time to figure that out. Not everybody wants to be free. Not everybody wants to do better. Not everybody wants to be healed. Not everybody wants to be successful. And I scratched my head and be like, why in the world would somebody not want everything God has for them? And the Lord finally laid on my heart and He says, because that's a crutch for them to blame their lack of faith on. Well, I'm too sick to do this. No, you don't have faith to do it. I'm too broke to do this. No, you don't have faith to do it. Because if God can make a fish come up out of the water with money in its mouth, don't worry about being too broke to do something. Hello? Well, I don't have the right connections to do this. Well, you're not going to find the right connections sitting on your couch eating Cheetos watching the soap operas. Do your head like this. It's all right. They won't nobody hire me and licking Dorito cheese off your fingers. They won't nobody give me no job. Well, you got to get up and go out and put some applications in so God can give you favor. Well, they got more qualifications. They may have more qualifications, but they not favored. Hello? When I went into banking and people said, what school did you go to for banking? I said, Hard Knocks. They said, you didn't have a degree and now you're the vice president of a bank. I said, absolutely not. I had God's favor. Hello, and I had God's hand on my life. And I dealt honestly with people. Hello? And I did what was right, and God blessed it. Let me tell you something. You don't have to have all that. When you're favored, you walk out and you do, and God's going to bless it. Amen. Let me move on. So as time goes on, Peter finds himself preaching to the Jews. But one day he's summoned to Caesarea. And while there, he goes up on the roof and begins to pray. And while he was there, he became hungry. How many of you know when you start to pray, you get hungry? You get sleepy? That's the time your kids want to act a fool. You down trying to pray and somebody beating on the door, what you doing? Oh, parents with kids know exactly what I'm talking about. You go in the bedroom to change clothes and shut the door. Oh, my gosh, the kids heard a door shut. Boom, 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 boom. What are y'all doing in there? We're escaping. That don't happen at y'all's house. Man, I need to come stay with y'all. But when Peter goes and he starts praying, and the Bible said he became hungry. You know, when you get down to pray, you start thinking about everything in the world. And before long, you done sit there 10 minutes and thought about all this, and you forgot, oh, I was praying. And so much distraction and all that. So here's Peter, he's up there praying, and he becomes hungry, and the Bible said he would have eaten, but the food was still being cooked. And so he fell into a trance. Well, I'm going to take me a nap while the dinner's being prepared. But the Bible said he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven opened up, and all manner of beasts and birds and creeping things. And God spoke to Peter and said, rise, kill them and eat. And Peter replies, nope. Lord, I can't do that because I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. In other words, Lord, I can't do what you told me to do because I ain't never done nothing like that. God, that's out of my comfort zone. Lord, I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. In other words, when the Lord tells you to go do something and you tell God why you're too good to do it. Uh-oh. Lord wants us to do something and we tell God that, oh, look, God, I've been in the church 20 years. Let some of these new people do that. I'll tell you something. If service ever gets beneath you, you're in a bad spot. If serving God ever gets beneath you, I toted water for preachers for years when I knew greatness was on the inside of me. And even had a preacher tell me that was going to be my calling, was to tote water for somebody else. Hey. But I was the best water toter. That was some cold water napkin around it. Hey, if God wanted me to be a water toter, I was going to be the best water toter I could be. I tell you something. When God says if you're faithful over a few things, he'll make you ruler over many. If God wanted me to pick up trash in the church, guess what? This church is going to be spotless. They won't be a pile of trash. And whoever put gum in between these first few seats up here, shame on you. Pastor found, Brother Robert found it and pointed it out to me, so he dimed y'all out. So if you chew gum in church, don't put it in between the seats. Let me move on. So he told Peter, y'all all right. Peter said, Lord, I cannot do what you're asking me to do. And I love what God told to him. He said, Peter, don't you call anything that I've created common or unclean. We can learn a lot. They have so much preaching right here, and I don't have time to do it. Whew. What gives us the right to pass judgment on anything God has created? What gives us the right to form our own opinions and pass judgment on people that may be something that we don't agree with in their life? And people that have a self-destruct button going on in their own life, because most of the time we're our own worst enemy. Anything good happens to us, we sabotage it. Hello? Freddie did you wrong. And now God sent you Jimmy. And Jimmy's a good dude, but you're making Jimmy pay for everything that Freddie ever did. And Jimmy don't even know Freddie. Hello? I'm moving. This is good stuff. Peter said, I can't do it. And Lord said, don't you dare call anything that I've created common or unclean. And this happened three times. What did I tell you earlier? Jesus asked Peter, what? Do you love me? Peter, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Three times. And this happened three times when the Lord said, rise up, kill and eat. And Peter said, I can't do it. I can't do it. You know, it's real easy to tell God, God, use me. God, use me for your purpose. God, do what you want to in my life. And then when God says, here's what I want you to do, we go, It's real easy for us to say, everybody in the sanctuary, raise your hands that's ready to do what God wants you to do, and every hand will go up. But then God calls us to do it. How many, and we'll say in church, Lord, we want revival in our church. We want revival in our church. And every hand in the place will go up. And then pastor will say, well, let's come together Tuesday night and pray. And six people show up. Amen. Oh, we want to see God do signs and wonders and miracles. And pastor calls a fast and we like, I got blood sugar issues. I got to eat or I pass out. I got to do this and I got to, well, you can fast other things. Hello? We want to see, you know, when they brought people that were possessed, a man possessed to Jesus' disciples, and Jesus said, this kind don't go out but by prayer and fasting. In other words, you want to see God do the supernatural, you want to see God do things, you got to put in the work. Hello? Let me move on. Let's break this down, though. This happened three times. At this point in time, Peter had been preaching only to the Jews. And now he's in Caesarea and up on the rooftop praying. And he would have eaten, but while they're fixing food, God causes Peter to fall into a trance. And in the trance, Peter sees food that he's never eaten. But God says, get up and eat it. When God tells him to, he says, no. You see, Peter was ready to eat the same food he had always eaten. But when something different was put before him, he said, I can't have that. Isn't it so easy to always do what we've always done? Because it's comfortable. It's comfortable. I heard somebody say one time, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing you've always done, but somehow expecting a different result. It don't happen. If you want different results, you got to do something you've never done before. That's about like saying, Lord, heal me of diabetes, but let me unbutton my britches and y'all pass me the other half of that pie. Hello? Peter was ready to eat what he'd always eaten. Peter called it common, which meant it fell below his ordinary standards. How many of us we got standards in many of our churches that we want folks to come in and look a certain way and dress a certain way and act a certain way, and if they don't, then we talk about them. Oh, well, I hate that happens at the church down the road. That don't happen here. No. Yes, it does. I've heard it. When folks don't dress like we think they should dress or act the way we think they should act or smell the way we think they smell or look the way that they think we should look. I'll never forget the time a preacher came to see me one day and was like, I want you to come preach at my church. And help me pray for a music leader. And I recommended somebody. Oh, they got tattoos all over them. I can't have that on my stage. Okay. But I want you to come preach. And I'm believing God's using you. And while he was talking, I just started rolling my sleeves up. His eyes got that big around. If you don't know, I've got tattoos all over my arms. And his eyes got big around. And I was like, you still want me to come preach at your church? He didn't know what to say. Well, I've just always been taught that it's wrong. I said, that's because you're ignorant, because you believe what somebody says instead of reading the Word of God for yourself. Hello, let me move on. I could actually show you in Isaiah where the Lord has some stuff tattooed in his hand. Ooh. And then the Bible says when he comes back, he's going to have written on his thigh, King of Kings and what? Let me move on. I just killed a sacred cow inside the church. And people say, well, in Leviticus it says don't mark your body for the dead. Think about it. That was in ceremonial rituals of worshiping the dead. Let me move on. I may have to get my job back. Peter was ready to eat what he had always eaten. And now y'all don't go out and say, preacher told me to go get a tattoo. I'm just saying that don't judge somebody because they have them. Amen. When God gets ready to progress you, Peter was in a trance and he lost his inability to function. And you see, when God gets ready to transition you, you lose your ability to function like you've always functioned. You used to could eat the same old stuff. You know, have you ever been somewhere and when you experience great things in God and then you go somewhere where it's really not the same, you're like, it's just not doing it for me anymore. Amen. That's why I have no idea how somebody can be Pentecostal. This might strike some feathers the wrong way. How can you be Pentecostal and then start going to church that's not Pentecostal? I just don't understand that. Why? Because once I've experienced the awesomeness of God and the moving of His Spirit, I can't go somewhere where I about fall asleep. Amen. And if that's your cup of tea, that's your cup of tea. I'm not preaching against that. I'm just saying for me, okay? Don't say preacher was preaching against other denominations, because I'm not. I don't even believe in denominations. I don't care what the door of the church says. If you're preaching Jesus, we're cool. Amen. Amen. I'll preach anywhere. I've preached in Baptist churches. I grew up Pentecostal, and the first church I ever pastored was a Baptist church. But man, them Baptist folks started getting the Holy Ghost. They didn't know what was happening. There was one night, you'll probably remember, there was one night, I got to flowing in the Spirit, and I got to laying hands on people, and people were falling out on the floor, and I turned around, and I was the only one standing in the church. I started to lay hands on myself and fall out. I just sat down on the stage and waited for everybody to get up. You remember that one? So let me move on. So when God progresses you, you can't eat the same old stuff you've always eaten. It's something's changing in your life. God told Peter, he said, before you can progress to the next level, you got to change your eating habits. You got to change your eating habits. What are you talking about? You can't just take in the same old stuff. How many of you know you got to be careful what you let go in here if you're going to follow after God? You got to be careful what you let come out here when you're following after God. Amen. You got to change some habits to progress in your level with God. You know, we get spoiled many times. We want to sit around with our hands out and be like, God, if you want me to do it, you'll make me do it. God ain't going to make us do nothing. God will bless us when we start stepping out on faith to do it. Let's move on. So, God's letting Peter know you got to change these habits. And people still want to progress in their relationship with God, but they want to do it, but still eat the same old stuff. And it happens today. And when people lose their ability to function the same way they've always functioned, instead of moving on up, they sit around and have a pity party, and wonder what went wrong. And I know nobody in here's ever had a pity party. I've had a few. I have pity parties when I get sick. How many of you know? We'll just go ahead and say it. When men get sick, we become the biggest babies. I ain't gonna lie about it. I get sick, I'm like, baby, would you just hold my hand? If I got to throw up, I feel like I'm dying. And I'm holding Michelle's hand. Going, I don't know what it is. When the room starts spinning and you get that loopy feeling, I'm like, I'm dying, Jesus. Take me down. And I'm holding Michelle's hand going, I love you, baby. Use my life insurance to pay off the house. And don't let them sing no old hillbilly gospel at my funeral. That's just me. And that's just because I got to throw up. And she's sitting there, she knows. She's like, oh, my God. And a woman can be sick, throwing up, and have a baby on the hip, still cooking dinner. I got mad respect for y'all. Let's move on. But we sit around and have pity parties when God's trying to do something. Wesley, would you come on? When God's trying to do something in our lives. And Peter told God, he said, I can't eat or partake of anything that is common. And God said, don't you dare call what I've laid before you common. So if it's not common, then it's uncommon. If it's not common, then it's uncommon. Uncommon means not ordinarily encountered. Do you know what will change this world? When the world starts seeing Christians that are out of the ordinary. What do you mean out of the ordinary? We're not judging folks. We're saying, come as you are and find a real Jesus that'll change your life. Out of the ordinary, wrapping your arms around people, dripping in sin, and say, I love you and God loves you too. Instead of saying, we don't want those kind of people in our church. I can't tell you how many people told me that it would be impossible to have a multicultural church in South Mississippi. I was like, we do it every Sunday. And every Wednesday. Amen. And when it's something out of the ordinary, something out of the norm, uncommon people. God was letting Peter know, man, you so you got got issues. You a naked, cussing, knife-toting preacher. He said, you're an uncommon dude, so I'm going to send you to an uncommon people. He said, I'm going to send you to an uncommon people. Peter, you're not going to be just another preacher. You're not going to be just part of another church. You're not going to be just another Christian. I got an uncommon assignment for you. And I've laid it before you. Quit saying you can't have it. Don't miss your progression in God because you think you can't do it. If God's laid it before you, you can do it. And God goes on to tell Peter, don't doubt this in your heart. God is looking for uncommon people to do uncommon things. I'm about as an uncommon as preacher as you're going to find. Guess what? But God can use uncommon to do uncommon. As a kid growing up, I could not go to church without the preacher calling me out saying, God's got something special for you. God's got to work for you. God's got to work for you. And I'm sitting over here going, I wish God would tell me what it is. And as I began to grow and mature, I began to see God's plan. And my entire ministry has always been centered around uncommon folks. Why? Because God's gave me a heart for people that are bound, people that are addicted, people that are struggling, to help them get free, to help them find Jesus. But I can't do it by myself. God's gave you an uncommon pastor for an uncommon assignment. And if you look around at all the growth our church is experiencing, it's people with some past. But guess what? God has changed their life. And the Bible says old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. And as a church with an uncommon assignment, guess what? We're going to see God do amazing things. But God's going to have to take some uncommon people. And people that he can say, don't you dare call anything that I have created common. Don't you dare say that it's beneath you. We have to allow God to continue to progress us, to reach the people that are hurting, dying, and going to hell every day. Amen. Would you stand with me? Father, I have delivered my heart today. God, as best as I know how. God, I just ask you today that you help us all to recommit ourselves. God, to reach in the lost. God, every person in here today, God, knows somebody that is not where they need to be with God. And God, they may have all kind of issues going on in their life. But God, we still need to introduce them to you. And you can change their life. God, give us the courage to be uncommon Christians. Not the ordinary, go through the motion. But God, uncommon people that go out and do what you've called us to do. God, not afraid to get our hands dirty. God, not worried about what they're going to say about us and our reputation. But God, people can say what they want to say, but God, let us be pleasing to you. God, help us all today. God, to go out. Step out of our comfort zone. Step out of what we're used to. And do what it is you're calling us to do. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I give you all honor, for it's in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And I want to open up these altars this morning. If you have a need in God's house today, I'm going to tell you something. God is a need-meeting God. If you're sick in your body, you're having problems in your life, whatever the need may be, I want to tell you something. When you meet God, you get in His presence. It begins to work out. If you have a need today and you want to spend some time in these altars, they're open this morning if you would like to come. Get some of our prayer team to come with these that have came this morning. thank you for those that tarried to pray with those that came to the altar. Amen. Thank you so much for being in God's house today. Amen. I pray that you were blessed today by the service, by the word. Amen. Such an honor for me and Michelle to be y'all's pastors. We love you so much. Father, we come before you today thanking you for the amazing privilege to be in your house today. God, I pray now that you would just bless every family that is here. God, that every person, God, that you would bless them. God, that you would let your face shine upon them, that you would give them peace. That everything they put their hands to would be blessed. Bless their coming in and their going out. God, I pray that you would be with us as we go our way. You'd bring us all back together at the appointed time. And we ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you this morning.